Sister Rebecca began with the scripture reading, "Blessed is the man, one that doesn't walk in the way of wickedness, sits in the seat of the scornful, but blessed is the one who walketh in the ways of God." How many knows the blessing of the Lord in this place this morning? Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Praise the Lord. While the Spirit of the Lord in the house. Amen. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Amen. So good to have everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. We have another Sherritt family with us this morning. We're so thankful to have you worshiping with us today. God bless you. And good to have Sister Cindy's friend with us again. Amen. Seen some other young people throughout the congregation. We're glad to have you. Good to see all the home folks. Some of you can't hardly wait all week to get here on Sunday to see your brothers and sisters. And if you feel that way, I'm sure they can't wait to see you either. Amen. Praise God. Brother Tim, these mantras seem muffled or something. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that. We're going to, as we stand in a moment, to pray over the Word. And by the way, so far it doesn't look like it'll get too bad till after church tonight. We'll check with heaven to see if we can't arrange that. So I'm looking forward to this evening's service. Amen. Praise God. Come early to pray and seek the Lord in the prayer room. And let's just believe the Lord for tonight. But we've got the remainder of this service and what the eternal God wants to do in the remainder of this service. But we're going to pray as we stand. I know there's many needs, but two specifically. First of all, Brother Steve has got a real physical condition. And here a moment when we stand, if you'd use Sister Debbie as a proxy this morning, some of you ladies just gather around her and lay hands on her. We'll pray for Brother Steve. And then Wilda Redmond, Sister Redmond, has been suffering, and tomorrow they're going to have to amputate a portion of her leg. And so let's remember her and Les in prayer this morning. Could we stand all over the building, those of you that would, lay hands on Sister Debbie for Steve's sake, and then let's pray for Sister Wilda and that family today. Could we pray? Join your prayers together in concert. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we come at your invitation. Lord, your ears are open to our prayers. Lord, you're able to hear. You're able to heal. You're able to help, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, touch Brother Steve's body completely and totally and fully, Lord. Touch him. God, we pray for your power. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help, Lord, right now. God, be with the Redmonds today. Strengthen them. Give them the peace of Christ that passeth understanding. Let them know peace and strength and help. Hold them up, O God, with your everlasting arms. Lord, be with them every step of this way, O God. Lord, I pray you'd help them, Jesus. God, move upon the preaching of the word today. Talk to our hearts. Continue, Lord, to allow us to enjoy and appreciate the moving of your Spirit in your house. We praise you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, would you not do it, Lord? Help your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As you're standing, we'll go ahead and read this morning. But Mark chapter 8, we'll read one verse and we'll visit other verses as we go through the message this morning. After that, Jesus put his hands again upon the blind man's eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. The emphasis is Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes. I want to preach this morning, Jesus gives a second touch. Jesus gives a second touch. You can be seated. Blind him. Put this side against it so the staple won't cut him. Hallelujah. Around this time of year, I get to thinking it's It's been 36 years ago since in the first of March that I began to preach, and I just start reminiscing every year about this time. I'm not sure why, just a nostalgic person. And I remember something, I believe I picked it up from A.W. Tozer, but it was something I not only used to preach, but I used to, when I prayed with folks on the altar, I found myself repeating this. And it went like this. Don't just pray until you feel different. Pray until you are different. How many knows there's a big difference? Don't just pray till you feel different. Pray until you are different. Let me tell you something I've seen too. I've seen folks, and I'm so appreciative of our service of spontaneity and being able just to move with the Spirit. And I've seen folks come to an altar, pray and weep and use up Kleenexes, go get up, go back to their pew, sit down. But there was something true. You know, they used to ask them, the old timers used to ask people when they came to pray for salvation at the altar. The old timers, Sister Rose would say, when they got up, they said, did you get satisfied? How many remembers that? Did you get satisfied? And I've seen this folks get up and go back to a pew and sit there for a while, and it started getting a hold of them again. And so they made the trip, same service, same altar call, made the trip to the altar again and began to pray. And when they got up, there was a change in their life. Hallelujah. Oh, what Jesus can do with one touch. But how many's glad we're not limited to just one touch? I said, we're not limited to one touch. We serve a Savior who will touch us again and again and again and again. Amen. For whatever reason, we don't always get it the first time. But He will touch us again. Let's look at the human need this morning. Verse 22, Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him and besought Him to touch him. He's blind. He isn't coming to Jesus on his own. Brother Ryan, Jesus is back in the foyer. Go. No, maybe not. You might get hurt. He's blind. He's not coming to Jesus on his own. You know, I know there are those with that physical handicap, but I think it's a very tragic thing to even contemplate being blind. It's an awful thing to be blind. It's an awful thing to be blind physically, but it's awful thing. It's an awful thing to be blind spiritually. To be blind spiritually. I think it would be a true statement we could accept throughout this congregation. The world out there is not only blind, it is increasingly blind. I want you to think of the craziness of our time. Legalization of recreational marijuana. Justification of abortion on every side. The pushing promotion and acceptance of same-sex marriage. When you think of folks making those decisions and the craziness surrounding it, and you're asking yourself, how can they do it? How can they do it? I'll tell you how. They're blind. They're spiritually in darkness. They are blind. Amen. I told you I was thinking of when I begin to preach, and I begin to think of one of my first messages that I preach. I can remember clearly the church and preaching it that night. But for that night, God had got a hold of my heart with these verses from the prophet. It's found in Isaiah 59. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. Listen, we wait for the light, but behold obscurity. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Here it is, verse 10, our world. We grope for the wall like the blind man. Amen. Brother Ryan, don't hurt yourself, but find the wall. We grope for the wall like the blind man, as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Thank you, somebody help him to the pew there. Amen. That is our world. world. That's a condition of our society. Even they are stumbling in darkness, in blackness, in terms, hear me this morning, in terms of enlightenment of the truth. You know, everywhere you look, from the educational realm to the political realm, even folks are making the boast, we're living in a time of enlightenment. But I'm telling you, in times of understanding the truth, it's not a time of enlightenment. It's a time of blindness and blackness and darkness in terms of seeing eternal things. People are blind. People are stumbling. Amen. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them." I want to tell you, if you don't believe God, amen, you can make a boast, "I'm an atheist." Amen. If you don't believe God, the truth is you're not enlightened. You have allowed your eyes to be blinded, and you're in blindness and darkness and stumbling. I want to tell you this morning that I believe our political leaders are stumbling through the halls of government. They're stumbling through their legislation. They're stumbling blind. Our university teachers, and of course, I know not all we have Christians out there, but as a whole, our university teachers are stumbling through their lectures blindly. Amen. I think of our young people. Everybody's telling them, find out who you are. Find your identity. But young people are searching for their identity, but they're searching with the blindness of heart and life. And the worst of the worst of it is, religious leaders have become the blind leading the blind. Oh, it's bad to have physical blindness, but spiritual blindness is far worse. Even you can ask the questions, can't people see they're destroying their lives? Can't young people see that what sin is doing to them and how sin is ruining them? Can't they see how they're being deceived and led astray? Can't they see how Satan is enslaving them and putting them in bondage? And the answer is no, they can't see it because they have been blinded. Oh, that's why I'm glad I can preach. Not only is there a blindness, not only is there a darkness, but there is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that can penetrate the darkness and the blindness, and the darkness, or the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Can't stop it. They're blind. But I want to tell you, the worst blindness comes from many who sit in pews on a Sunday morning and will not allow Christ to open their eyes. Service after service, they hear the truth. I thought it was Shakespeare, found out it was a rewording of Scripture. That's a good thing. It's usually the other way. People think it's Scripture and they've quoted Shakespeare. But it's a requoting of Scripture. There is none as blind as he who will not see. Isn't that the truth? An awful blindness. Amen. I know so many times people preface their quote-unquote beliefs with this: the way I look at it, the way I see it. I've got a question. I don't mean to sound facetious. What does it matter how you look at it and how you see it when you're blind? What does it matter? Try to reason with people from this word and say, the Bible says, and they'll go, well, the way I look at it. That's not the way I look at it. That's not the way I see it. What does it matter how you look at it when you're blind? Amen. You see, one of those wonderful songs that blesses is Amazing Grace, and everybody here could complete it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Go ahead and say it with me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was what? I was blind, but now I see. Aren't you glad for that? Isn't that a reason to rejoice? I was blind, but now I see. But let me tell you a very, very sad thing that is a condition of many people. The truth about them is they once could see, but now they're blind. Amen. They knew the truth. They knew the way. They could see, but they allowed a blindness. Oh, what a human need. Let's go to the usual and the probable response. Verse 22. And they bring a blind man unto him. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Nathan. Maybe you can help me. Andrew, help me. I'm going to be Jesus. Bring the blind man to me. Take your time getting here, though. I need to talk. At least his friends, if you can listen to me as you watch, his friends and his family had enough faith in Jesus to bring the blind man to Jesus. I want to tell you something. I've talked about the spiritually blind, but the blind man never would have made it to Jesus that day all on his own. Thank God he had friends and family to bring him to Jesus. You say they won't let me. They can't stop you from bringing them to Jesus in prayer. How many knows that? You got a lost parent, they may not allow you to bring him to Jesus, but you can take him to the Lord in prayer. They brought him to Jesus. Why did they bring him to Jesus? They believed in Jesus' healing touch. Anyone here believe in Jesus' healing touch? That's why they brought him. They weren't bringing him to a religious meeting. They weren't bringing him to a social gathering. They weren't bringing him just to another bean supper. They were bringing him to Jesus because they knew that Jesus could help his impossible situation. Amen. They would have never brought him to Jesus had they not fully believed that Jesus could do something about his condition. I know I've said it, and I'm not trying to be redundant, but hear me across this building. The blind have to be brought. I said the blind have to be brought. I said the blind have to be brought. Think of the lost loved ones in your family. Think about your lost co-workers. Your lost neighbors. You keep praying. I pray, Lord, help them to come to church. But the truth of the matter is, the blind have to be brought. Thank God this man had friends and family that brought him to Jesus. You say what you just said, sometimes they won't let you. That may be true. But could I tell you, if you'll bring him to the Lord in prayer, there is a Holy Spirit that knows how to get a hold of the blind and bring them to Jesus. He's moving throughout the earth, drawing people to Christ. I know they're blind, but there's a spirit that can bring them to the feet of Christ. And not only did they bring him to Jesus, they pleaded with Jesus just to touch him. Go ahead, start hollering at Jesus. Just touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Oh, come on, come on. What do you want me to do? Oh, I think the Lord ought to be hearing that every service and every day. He ought to be hearing his folks crying out to him for those that are spiritually blind. Touch them, Jesus. Touch them, Jesus. Oh, touch them, Jesus. Even they begin to beseech him. They pleaded with Jesus. There it is again, touch. Why? Because they believe. Why? Because they believe Jesus had it in him to meet that need. What that man needed was in Jesus. And if they could just get Jesus to put his hands on him, contact would be made. And what was in Christ would go through the conduit of Jesus and be transferred. Hallelujah. How many still believe there's salvation in Jesus? There's deliverance in Jesus. There's healing in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And if we could have him touch folks, what's in Jesus we go to them. Could you set him down for a moment? Hallelujah. Let's look at the Jesus response. Sit him right there on the pew. Verse 23. What was Jesus' response? A little bit over. Hallelujah. Some folks aren't blind in church. They're just asleep. Amen. What was Jesus' response? Look at verse 23. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Amen. Why'd he do that? Why didn't Jesus just kill him right there in town, in the crowd? Why didn't he do it? I believe, I'm going to give you three reasons. You can see the other things. Oh, hallelujah. He's got a lot of faith, doesn't he? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you let Jesus get a hold of you, you don't have to worry about where he's going to lead you. Oh, hallelujah. Why'd he lead him out of town? Well, first of all, you got to understand right there. Don't be running off if you're blind. It would be a dumb thing to do. Hallelujah. Amen. First of all, you got to understand the context. There was a crowd. They didn't want to accept Jesus. They didn't want to have anything to do with following his teaching. Those Pharisees, they gathered around, and just because they wanted to stir up something and see the spectacular, they kept begging Jesus to work a sign, to work a sign. But Jesus knew their heart was not, were not hearts to believe. Their hearts were to criticize and find fault. And so the Pharisees cried, work a sign, work a sign. That's what they wanted to see, just something spectacular. Amen. They didn't care about the blind man. They didn't care about his condition. They just wanted to see, have something sensational happen. I believe one reason Jesus led that man out of that crowd is he said, if all you want is a sign, I'm not even going to let you see this take place. If you're not wanting help, if you're not wanting a life change, if you don't want to follow my word, amen, I'm not just going to do things so you can say, wow, and be thrilled. Amen, you want a sign? I'm taking him outside of town. You're not going to get a sign. I believe another reason he led him outside, and I don't have time to go on this. We've alluded to it several times. You can read it in the gospel. There's going to be a day Jesus is going to be called Messiah, and on that day, his enemies are going to kill him and put him on a cross. But the time has not yet come. If Jesus healed this blind man, everybody knew him. Everybody would know what a great miracle it was. If he did it in front of all of them, they would do as they did at other times and try to make him king, and it would speed along his incarceration and crucifixion. Amen. God knows the timing of all things. And Jesus said, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. I'll lead you outside of town. We won't have that crowd proclaiming me king. But I believe there's one more reason. Let's get back in the crowd for just a minute. Amen. I don't understand how Jesus does things all the time. There were times he called people out in front of the crowd. He brought them to the front of the church. Amen. For everybody to see what a predicament they were in. But I believe there may be another reason. Amen. Jesus didn't want the man distracted. He didn't want the man thinking everybody's looking at me because he can't see the people. It's an embarrassment. Amen. He knows he would be on display, and Jesus was concerned enough about his personal feelings. He said, I'm going to bring you out of the crowd where you can focus on me and what I'm going to do. Amen. You don't have to worry about that crowd. I know there's something wonderful happens when we gather as a church, and that's a part of it. But I want to tell you, amen, as I preached last Sunday, sometimes before God is able to help us, we got to let him lead us away from the crowd. Get away from the crowd. Get away from the group you've been listening to. Get away from the group you've been running with. If there's some folks that just let Jesus get you out of the crowd, he'd be able to work in your life. The crowd is pulling you down. Even that group, it's taking your heart away from the Lord. Won't you let Jesus get you by the hand and bring you to a place where it's just you and him, where he can do something in your life. Amen. Amen. Hey, I start to say, come sit down again. You can't. Hallelujah. Let me help you. We're going to run. I got to hurry, so you got to hurry too. Amen. Right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why did he do it? Listen, that man can't see. He cannot see the Lord. Amen. Did you know what an act of faith he's got to have to let a strange man get a hold of his hand and start pulling him away from everything he's familiar with? Oh, he had to exercise faith. He's still blind. He can't see. But at least Jesus has got him by the hand. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Stay right there. I don't understand how it all works. I don't always understand the timetable or the experiences. But could you believe something this morning? Amen. Some folks are not saved yet. But just because they're not saved yet, just because they're still blind, doesn't mean that Jesus hadn't already got them by the hand and he's leading them to the place where the blind blindness is going to leave. Could you believe that about some of your lost loved ones you've been praying for? You know they're not sitting here this morning. No, they can't see this morning, but Jesus has got them by the hand. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you just pray that way right now? Lord, I know they're not saved yet, but get them by the hand and lead them to the place where you can take the blindness from their eyes. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring you up here so everybody can see. Amen. That wasn't in the story, but I need to preach up here where they can see. I know you're going to... Hallelujah. It's all right. It's Jesus. If he falls and breaks a leg, Jesus can heal that too. Hallelujah. Once again, Jesus does something that's hard for us to fathom. Are you ready for this? That gave me 10 more minutes of preaching. You can't even think of lunch now. Did you read that in Scripture? Jesus spat and put it on his eyes. Now, I want to tell you one thing. It wasn't because Jesus was out of anointing oil. So there's got to be another reason. Have you ever wondered why did Jesus do that? I believe one reason is the thing we keep mentioning. Jesus is trying to build this man's faith. And he's trying to say, what you need comes from my very innermost being. And I'm going to tell you, as gross as you may find it, and this is one of the reasons you do, there's hardly anything as personal. Can I say it? There's hardly nothing as personal as spit. And I believe Jesus is building his faith. What you need is going to come from me. I have it in me. Oh, I wish some people get a hold of that. They keep looking out in the world, and the whole time Jesus is saying, I have it in me to meet your need. But I think there may be a practical reason. And again, I'll get 10 more minutes out of this. But at that time, blind people didn't get a lot of medical condition, a lot of attention, medical attention. And because of the common conditions, their blindness was often caused by extreme infections and all of that. And that being true, their eyes with those conditions would secrete and secrete until it literally gummed their eyelids closed. The thing is, I know Jesus could have done that many different ways, but Jesus could cause that man's eyeballs to be healed, and he still couldn't open his eyes because his eyelids are gummed shut. And we don't know this because Mark never explains it. And again, this is a miracle that's only in Mark. We don't have the other gospel writers to give us any more information. But in a very practical way, it could be that Jesus spat because he's fixing to open that man's eyes. And so he softens them up and breaks the eyelids loose. So when his eyeballs are healed, that man can see. You may see, you to say to me, you see a spiritual application in everything. I just believe there's a reason things are in Scripture. And let me tell you what I believe Jesus is going to do for some folks and what it will take before some folks will ever spiritually see. Their hearts are going to have to be softened. How many knows what I'm talking about? Until their hearts are softened, they will never spiritually see. And it may not be spit, it won't be. But God knows how to soften a heart. Job said, the Almighty hath made my heart soft. How many remembers the day when he softened your heart? Didn't that proceed your seeing? How many can think about that? Wasn't it the softening of your heart? That's why it's a dangerous thing, because I believe the converse is true. When you start hardening your heart, blindness is going to set in. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 24, and then Jesus said to the man, look up. Did you catch that again? What is he? And what is Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus isn't playing games. He was just making it clear to the man who cannot see where his help was going to come from. You know, I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't. You won't listen to the rest of the sermon. Sometimes we get things fixed in our heads, and because they sound so wonderful, we just can't get them out. How about that psalm? I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. I like that because I like hills. I like the Ozarks. And boy, that's beautiful. And so you see that plaque everywhere when you're in the hills. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. Oh, but we miss it. We miss it. And I don't want to get too far afield this morning, but I want to tell you, the hills is where the pagans built their altars. The hills were where the pagans sacrificed to their gods. And I believe the psalmist was saying, I lift up mine eyes, I see the hills, but my help doesn't come from that realm. What did he follow and say? My help cometh from the Lord. You say, I can't see my way forward. I can't see my way out of this mess. Amen. Don't look to any other quarters. Look up. I said, look higher than the hills. Oh, hallelujah. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Savior. Oh, blind man, you're blind. Oh, you're still blind. But if I can just get you to look to the source, how many knows every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. Oh, somebody needs to look up this morning. I said, somebody needs to look up. He said to him, look up, look up. Amen. And he prayed for that man. Amen. Look up. Look up. He spat. He prayed. Look up. Amen. Let's read the rest of the verse. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. The figures he saw look like trees. Amen. It takes me longer to heal somebody. Especially without... I'm blind. I don't have my bifocals on. There we go. Hallelujah. He saw figures. They looked like trees, but he knew they couldn't be trees because they're moving and trees don't move. Amen. Verse 25. Amen. You got to say that. Can you see?
I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking.
Oh, hallelujah. And when he said that, verse 25, Jesus put his hands, come a little closer. I got to read here too. Jesus put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up. Hallelujah. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Amen. I want to ask a question that no doubt is formed in your mind. Why did Jesus not completely heal that man with the first touch? How many would be honest? I've asked that before. Amen. Why did Jesus not completely heal that man with the first touch? Make no mistake. Do not doubt it. Jesus could have completely restored that man's sight with the first touch. How many believes that? Amen. So why did he touch him again? This is the only case in Scripture in Jesus' life of a gradual incremental cure. The only one we have. And again, there's no doubt Jesus could have healed him fully. Jesus doesn't need another shot. Jesus doesn't need a mulligan. Jesus doesn't need a do-over, another try. Amen. It was not that Jesus needed to improve upon his prayer. It was not that Jesus had to muster up more healing virtue. It could not be that. What could it have been? Well, I believe several things. First of all, I believe the first time Jesus prayed, he was praying in response to the man's family and friends' faith. It was their faith Jesus was praying or Jesus prayed and responded to, and he did it incrementally so the man could see the difference of his friend's faith and have faith for himself. I said have faith for himself. That's why he prayed again the first time, a response to the friend's faith. But the blind man's starting to get it. Jesus responds to faith. My friend said, touch me Lord, or touch my friend Lord, and he'll see. And I'm already seeing. I believe now now for myself. Did you know the Lord wants you to get it for yourself? Amen. It's one thing, amen, to shout because these saints are shouting. But it's another thing when you got it for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody else has been praying and they get blessed and you get in on it. But it's another thing when you've been praying and get blessed for yourself. Oh, hallelujah. How's your faith? Amen. It's just men as trees. But your faith is building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perhaps it wasn't that. Perhaps it is to show that often, amen, the problem is on our side and not the Lord's. Amen. The reason he didn't get healed completely the first time, the problem was not with Jesus. The problem was on the other side. And I'm going to finish in a minute. I really am. But this is so important in context. Did you know what had just happened? Jesus had just fed the 4,000. You say, wait a minute. Didn't he just feed 5,000 a little bit before that? Exactly right. That's it. You're getting it. We're getting it. Amen. Jesus had just fed the 4,000. Amen. Out there in the wilderness. And Jesus said, I don't want to send them away hungry. And the disciples said, listen, because you've heard of this before. The disciples said, we're in the wilderness. There's no way to feed this people. Didn't they just say that with the 5,000? They're not getting it. They're not getting it. And so Jesus goes ahead and he proceeds to take 7 loaves and feed 4,000. He did it. He did it again. Not long after that, the disciples got in the boat with Jesus and somebody said, where's the picnic basket? Oh, no. We forgot the picnic basket. I'm only adding a little bit to this, I promise. And they started looking through the boat. Jesus could see them scurrying around. They looked through the boat and they found 1 loaf of bread. Jesus said to them, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he read their minds because the disciples said, he's just saying that because we didn't bring enough bread. And Jesus looked at them and he said, you have eyes, but you don't see. He said, don't you remember? He said, how many were in the crowd the first time? 5,000. How many loaves did you have? 5. How many baskets were left full after we fed the multitude? 12. How many were in the crowd this time? 4,000. How many loaves did we feed him with? 7. How many baskets were left over? 7. And Jesus said, and you're still concerned? Because we don't have enough bread in the boat. He said, you have eyes, but you don't see. In other words, he was saying to those disciples, I touched you once to let you know I am the provider. I'm going to take care. I have the power. And only a few days go by, and we got 4,000, and you say again to me, how are you going to feed them? He said, I touched you again. And you still don't get it. You still have eyes that are blind and can't see. But I want to tell you the wonderful thing that's implied. Jesus is saying, I've touched you once, I've touched you twice. But he's saying to the disciples, if you need it, I'll touch you again. And I'll keep on touching you. I'll keep on breaking the bread. I'll keep on teaching a lesson. Aren't you glad we have a God? I just want to make clear the reason Jesus prayed twice, the problem wasn't with Jesus. The problem was with the man. Amen. Of unbelief. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, you can be seated. Sometimes we need a second touch. We ought to get it the first time. How many believes that? We ought to get it the first time. We ought to understand the first time. We ought to quit doubting the first time. We ought to get rid of our fear the first time. Amen. We ought to just keep on serving God when the enemy attacks the first time. But we get down in the dumpster and we start doubting. We start wanting to turn back. We should have got up the first time. Yes, that is true. But thank God, he is Jesus of the second touch. And if we didn't get everything we needed the first time, there is another touch. Oh, hallelujah. If you'd hear me this morning, some would just admit, that's me. What I need is another touch. One more reason, and that is people who have not seen. I'll elaborate on this in a few moments when I close. But people who have not seen in a very long time or have been born blind, the apparatus of their eye can be restored complete like new. But the brain also has to learn to see. Scientifically, our eyes see two-dimensionally. So our brain has to take over and make the adjustment so that we can see in three dimension. Amen. Our eyes, Brother Bill, see everything flat. The brain takes over and gives us depth perception. Another reason Jesus may have prayed again the first time, he made the eyes okay. Oh, the second time, he made the thinking. Oh, sometimes we just need a second touch. He's touched our heart and got it right. But we need our mind touched. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. I started thinking about, look what the Lord hath done. Look what the Lord hath. He healed my body. He touched my mind. Oh, sometimes we need a second touch. Oh, would somebody say amen this morning? Sometimes we need a third and a fourth touch. What about a baby when they're born? They can see, but they can't focus. I think it's the same as being born again. Amen. Folks get born again. They can see, but not as clear as they need to because they're a babe in Christ. Oh, there's a second touch that'll bring growth. Hallelujah. Could you see, listen to me this morning. His first touch was salvation. But thank God he has other touches. I said his first touch was salvation. But he has other touches. Have you had the touch of sanctification? Oh, hallelujah. Someone, come on now. Amen. You're saved, but you're struggling with something. Thank God you've had the salvation touch. But there's the touch of sanctification. There's the touch of deliverance. Your sins are forgiven, but you wrestle with the same habit. Thank God there's another touch, the touch of deliverance. There's the touch of salvation. There's the touch of victory. There is the touch of hallelujah. There's one and another and another. Look at the result of Jesus' response. Verse 25, and after he had put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. He's a God that knows how to restore. He restores more than blinded eyes. He restores joy. He restores dreams. He restores families. Hallelujah. How many believe he's the God of restoration? Oh, hallelujah, and that may apply. The man at one time long ago could have seen, but he is the God that restores. Now he's seeing clearly. My wife didn't know how appointed it was because I had written down here a little illustration. Amen. Sometimes I get busy. I like clean things. I like everything to be clean, but I just get busy, and it only takes about a day. But every once in a while, she'll look over me and say, give me those glasses. She said, I don't know how you can see through them. And so we walked in this morning and took our spots out in the foyer to greet folks. And she said, those glasses, how can you see through it? And instead of cleaning them herself, she handed me a little towel to do it. I had to do it myself. Amen. If you're going to point out something, take care of it. Amen. But I've been thinking about that all week. There's some folks, amen, amen, you're born again, but you've allowed Satan to smudge your glasses. You're not seeing things the way you ought to see. Things are getting in the way. Things are distorted. I want to tell you, thank God there's a God of another touch. Amen. You once could see, now it's smudgy, but he can take off the smudges. Oh, I've never made an altar call like that, but I think I'll make one this morning. Come to the altar if you need your glasses clean. Amen. If you need the smudges taken off your heart, things have gotten between you and seeing things the way you ought to see. Music, would you come? So I'll quit. I wanted to give you, before I quit, a modern illustration of this. Amen. At age 45, Michael May had been blind for 43 years, or 42 years. He had lost his sight when he was 3 years old. But in 1999, they developed a transplant procedure, and he became a candidate for it. They said, it's very likely you'll be able to see the first time in 42 years. Amen. Before his surgery, there had only been 40 cases of sight wholly restored to those who were completely blind. These are documented cases in the medical realm. And they had learned something from that. And every one of those cases, when they fixed the eyes, it took the person a while, and quite a while, and sometimes many years, for their brain to be able to interpret the data their newly restored eyes took in. We're beginning to see this miracle. Their brain couldn't interpret the data, and that was a concern. You see, they say medically, here's what happens. When their eyes are fixed, the first thing they experience is the euphoria of light and colors rushing in, and they're thrilled. It's such a miracle. They are so excited, but they say almost immediately frustration sets in for the reasons I told you. They see things in two dimensions. They can't make out details. They don't have depth, and even though the light is coming in, they get frustrated. They get upset. They even get confused. Amen. They have to learn to live with the sight. And here's the thing I really wanted to share with you and for us to think about. They said at times the newly sighted patients felt that they belong neither to the world of the blind nor to the world of sight. They could see light, but because their brain hadn't caught up, they began to get confused. Do I belong with the blind, or do I belong with those that could see? Listen to me as I preach. I know we got started late, but listen to me. I've seen that so many times. There's no doubt in my heart that Jesus has touched some folks. They've gotten saved. The light has rushed in, and they do the same thing as these patients do. They rejoice. They say, what a miracle. What a wonderful thing. But I want to tell you, amen, salvation is wonderful, but there's a learning how to walk. There's a maturing in Christ. There's a real world to live in. And some of these that have been touched with Jesus, they begin to get to that place, and the devil will help them. They begin to say, am I saved, or am I still a part of the world? Did I really get saved, or is my life still like it used to be? Am I in the land of the blind, or am I in the land of the sight? It happened spiritually. Michael's case was the same, except for one thing. He did not get discouraged. They said he walked out of that medical facility. He asked his wife about everything. Is that a flower? She said, yes. He said, can I touch it? Yes. Are these steps? He could see them clearly, but he couldn't navigate them because of this mind thing. She said, yes, those are steps. They got to the car. He said, is that our car? She said, yes. He said, can I touch it? Amen. It was such a wonderful thing. He never became discouraged. There were risks to take. There were lessons to learn. There were battles to fight. There were things to change in his life. But he never became discouraged. And there came a day that his mind began to process what he was seeing. I want to preach this morning. You've had one touch. The light has rushed in. It's a wonderful thing, glorious thing. Oh, but now you're having trouble. Now you're stumbling over some of the same things you used to stumble over. Now you don't know about some things and can't figure that. Could I tell you, there's another touch. The touch that brought the light will touch your mind. We'll touch your emotions. We'll touch you again and again until you get it. Hallelujah. Just don't give up on his touch. I've got a recommendation this morning. Instead of turning around, instead of giving up, instead of walking out on God, what about just getting another touch? Come on, let's stand. I said, how about another touch? Instead of throwing it all away. You say, I can't figure this out. How about another touch? You don't know the battle that I'm in. How about another touch? You don't know how confused I am. How about another touch? You don't know how desperate. How about another touch? Oh, how many would be honest and lift a hand and begin to pray and say, Lord, touch me again. Could you do it all over the building? Touch me again. Oh, come on, let's do it by faith. Come on, you're hearing me. You're understanding. Touch me again, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 In fact, I'm just going to open up this altar right now. You say, I need another touch. Would you come right now? Maybe you need the first touch. Come with these that are coming. Say, Lord, save my soul. Oh, come on, more honest folk are coming all across the building. Lord, I need another touch. How about instead of quitting, getting another touch? How about instead of being discouraged, get another touch? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Instead of listening to Satan's lies, how about another touch? Hallelujah. Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. Lord, I've seen the light, but I'm in a mess right now, Lord. I can't see my way out of this. I know my eyes have been opened, but oh God, I need another touch. Come on, let's be honest with God. I need another touch. That man was honest with Jesus. He said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, I see them, but I still don't understand. I still don't get it. I still can't figure it out. Oh, and Jesus, upon that man's honesty, gave him another touch. Would you pray that way in the altar this morning? Lord, give me another touch. Pray for another touch. You can. Another touch.
You're the God of a second chance. Show me all of my wrong.
Let him touch you again. Preached it all this morning, but what I heard in the distance the whole time I was preaching, hear me across this building. I kept hearing it. I want to share it one more time. Instead of giving up, how about another touch? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Instead of giving up, how about another touch? Another touch. Oh, hallelujah. 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 He can touch you right here. Right where you're at. Lord, I need another touch. I'm admitting, Lord. I'm admitting. Don't be one of those that has to say, I once could see, but now I'm blind. Be one of those that says, I once was blind, but now I see. Touch.
My strength from yesterday is gone.
Another touch.
And if you'll give me, Lord, another touch,
you'll do it right where you're at.
Strength to carry
on. Right where you're at. The second touch and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. Oh, stay in a place you can touch him. Stay in a place. Let him make your heart soft. Soften my heart, Lord. Soften my heart, Lord. Soften my heart, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
My strength from yesterday is gone.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you give me, Lord, another touch.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'll have the strength to carry.
Oh, I still feel it in my heart. I want to say it again. Instead of giving up, turning back, how about another touch? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank God for another touch. Thank you, Lord, for another touch.